Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayemi Zvachem Tzadi Gimel. We are holding right on top. Boy Mine, Rami Bar Chum, he had a question. Mirav Chizda. This connects back to the halacha that we learned yesterday. The dam of a carbon chatas that splattered on a beget. Okay, so it splashed onto a garment. That garment now requires a process called kibus. It must be laundered in the Beis HaMikdash in accordance with the psukim, which say that a beged asher yize oleha tichabes only b'makim kadosh at this location. Now, this halacha is limited, at least according to the opinion that we're going to be presenting right now. It's limited to dam of a chatas, which is still suitable for akrova. It's still carbon material. It's still kosher blood. However, if the blood becomes pusil and unsuitable for akrova, it becomes deactivated. In which case, even if it drips on a beged, the kibus process does not apply. Okay, so that's the premise which the next gemara is based on. Dam chatas, which is still active, which is still kosher, would require kibus, otherwise not. For instance, if the dam becomes tummy, and then it lands on a beged, there's no halacha of kibus. Now comes an interesting question. Suppose it was fine until it hit the beged, and then it became, you know, pusil. How? How does the beged make it pusil? Very simple. The beged itself was tummy. So the blood of the chatas dripped on a beged, which is tummy. So as it was headed to the beged, it was still active, suitable carbon material. But once it made contact, upon the moment of contact, it simultaneously dirtied the beged, and it in itself, the button itself, became disqualified for further carbon use because it became tummy. So it was a simultaneous double occurrence. The question is, how do we treat this beged? Kibus or no kibus? Shall we consider it like a beged who received dam kosher because it was kosher until it landed? Or no, since at the moment of contact it became tummy because of this beged, so it's deemed like dam pasul that landed on the beged. In which case, there's no kibus. Interesting question. The blood of the chatas dripped on a beged, which happens to be tummy. What happens now? Let me just make one observation. Based on this question, it's pretty clear to me, just for starters, that the question is based on that notion discussed earlier, that blood which is currently pasul would not require kibbutz, even though it was kosher until a certain point. It doesn't really, you know, help it. Had a moment of okayness, and then it became pasul. Kibbutz is no longer applicable. That's a general, you know, premise. Question is, does it apply in this case as well? What happens simultaneously? Perhaps that only applies when it's sequential. So if the dam became tummy and then dripped on a beged, it's exempt from kibus. Aval bevas achas leib, but it happened at the same exact moment. At the moment of contact with the beged loy, we don't treat it like disqualified blood that landed on the beged. No, it landed okay, then it became, and therefore kibus is applicable. Or you can say no difference between sequential, which disqualifies the blood, or simultaneous. Kibus will not apply. Amar Lesi says, you know what? Interesting question. Actually, I think it's a machlekes tanoim. This is a general question. Whether simultaneous is treated like sequential is a machlekes tanoim. Regarding a totally different topic, we're going to compare it and apply it to our case as well. Amrle plukto to machlokes between the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban. Ali with the Rabba, based on the way Rabba presented the machlokes, ukadim kometaris Abaye, and in accordance with the way Abaye clarified it, coming up later. The Sanya, okay, let's go back. What's the machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer oimer meichata shenitmu metarin. Here the meichatas doesn't mean, the karmach, it means the paraduma water, which is meant to be sprayed on a person who's tamei meis. It purifies him. What if the chatas water itself was tamei beforehand? Mitarin. They are still effective. You can still use them and apply them to an adam tamei. How do I know this? Says Rabbi Eliezer. Very simple. Nowhere in the Torah do we find that you cannot spray the mechatas on a woman who's tamei meis, which requires the paraduma water, and also Anida. Suppose she's also Anida. Can you use this water on her? Presumably yes. Despite the fact that the water becomes tummy upon contact. So it can address Tumas Meis, but she has an additional layer of Tuma upon her. She's tummy Anida. How can this water be effective? Because it pretty much becomes tummy when it touches her. Because of the fact that she's a nida, how could it purify her from the tamei meis? Sharei nida mazen aleh. We find that you could be mazen on a nida, despite the water becoming tamei upon contact. So you see that tuma does not inhibit the water from acting, from purifying. Likewise, just as it works simultaneously, even if it's sequentially. Even if the water actually became tummy yesterday, you can use it today. It's not an impediment. It's not going to stop the water from being effective. Vama Rabba. Now, how can you compare one case to the other? Vama Rabba, Rabbi Eliezer, Beshitas, Rekiba, Rabbi Amram. Because really, as Rashi explains, there's a problem here. By the nida, it happens simultaneously. Okay, surely that works. The water was still okay until it touched her, so it works. But based on that, you're going to stretch it and allow the use of water which became tummy before, prior to being used? Who says to compare the two? Who says it's a fair equation? Says Rabbi, let me explain to you where Rabbi Eliezer is coming from. Rabbi Eliezer b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yama. He's based on his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, who says that really, any mechatas which traveled over something that's tummy, entered the airspace, even the airspace of something that's tummy, is really unsuitable for further use. Okay, so if we can spray on Isha Nida and deem the water still active and effective despite the fact that it passed over. Her airspace and became tainted by it. Okay, apparently, even water that's tummy works. The Amar who says, his Rebbe says, Havoras kli al gabi makam tummy kimonach tummy. Rekiva holds that when you take the kli of the meichatas and bring it over a makam tummy, it's treated as though it landed on it. Airspace is just as tainted. That's not. Hayayim l'chutzal taner. So let's picture this: he's standing here, and there's a wall nearby, and there's an oven in between himself and the wall, face up, right, with an open, cover, and inside of which there's a sheret, something which is tummy, v'sheret v'taner, sheret's inside the taner, v'hoish adyadu l'chalun, and he reaches over to the window, to the ledge there, across the airspace of the oven, v'natal salagin, reaches over to the login, to the pitcher, to the container, and takes the container of paraduma water, v'vir al-gabi al-pi taner, and bringing it over the opening of the taner. So it merely passed over an impure place. Rabbi Kiva Matami says the water is not tummy, unsuitable for paraduma use. V'chachamim mitaren, they're not concerned, it's okay. Uba pligi, and presumably the machlokes is based on whether we treat airspace as though it's part of the surface below. The Rabbi Kiva Sava Kimonach Tami, airspace is treated like the surface below. It's as though it landed on the bottom. Rabbanan Sabra, they say no, Lav Kimonach Tami, just because it went through the airspace, it didn't land, it's okay. Lav Kimonach Tami. Now, okay, so up until this point, Rashi says actually it's a ma'ala mechatas. Rukiva is going to apply this strictness, this chumrah, to paraduma water, even airspace. Over a tainted area is treated as tainted, you know, environment, and it affects the mechatas. Okay, so based on this analogy, we could fully understand Rav Elazar's shita. Just like you can spray an ishanida, despite the water passing through the airspace, it's okay. Likewise, even water which came to me outright can still be used. Now we're not done. Ve'esvi Abai. Now Abai had a kash on this. On this interpretation, that Rabbi Kiva is coming from this point of, you know, airspace is considered like the surface below. Ve'esvi Abai have a kash. We find in Ebraisa that even Rabbi Kiva is not concerned about airspace. Moedir Rabbi Kiva, Ba'azo, Shavira, Al-Gabba Klei Cheres. Right? Even Rabbi Kiva agrees if the water was passed over, a Klei Cheres, that's Tame. Or Al-Gabba Mishkev, a Moishev Tame. Or, you know, a mattress, a chair that was Tame. That's okay. Shei Tohira. The water still stays okay. Despite passing through this the airspace above the tainted item. Because these items do not affect their airspace. Only specific types of tumas spread upwards, like a mace, right? Like a nega, right? Very, very few items. Hardly any, seldom any items of tuma will extend upwards. Like, you know, like the bottom. Al kazayis min hameis. Ushar kalam ahilin. So a maze has that power to spread all around. And other items that are likewise metame their environment, lasuy evanam nugas, including a stone from a negahum. So, clearly, even Rabbi Kiva is not concerned about airspace above something that's tame. How could you propose that as the reason for Rabbi Kiva's halacha? El and Rabbi, let me explain to you further. The kuli amalav kumunach tami. No, the truth is, even Rabbi Kiva would not consider the airspace above like the space below, like the surface below, regarding, you know, general tumais. V'hacha, and over here when he says that there's an issue with passing the pitcher above the tanner, b'alkem ifli machleik is as follows. Rabbi Kiva savar gazrinan shema yaniach. Very straightforward problem. It's not the airspace. Chachamim were concerned that if you're passing it over, you might get tired and put it down on the tumma. And then, certainly, the water becomes possible. Rabbanan savri legar zun, Rabbanan, not concerned. Just make sure you pass it over safely. Okay, so it's not an issue of airspace definitions. Just a practical concern that you might actually put it down on the tumma. Umoide rekiva bahazo. Now, even Rabbi Kiva, right? So that's the, let's go back to explain the Brice that we just quoted. Moide Rabbi Kiva v'hazo. Yeah, in terms of passing, we're concerned if you pass, if you're manually passing it, you might put it down. Umoide, but still Rabbi Kiva would agree. If he's engaged in spraying that water and it happens to fly over something that's tummy, that's okay because it's out of his hands. He's not putting it down anymore. This gzera is not applicable at this point. Once it left his finger, it's out. It's airborne. Out of his, control. He's not putting anything down on the, right? Okay, so according to this new approach, right, we thought we had some sort of source, Rabbi Kiva, that Avir is like Munach, and that's sort of connected to the idea of Imaza and the Nida to prove that Tamei water is okay, and then it connected back to Dam Chatas, right, that dripped over a Beged, right, which was Tamei, shall we say, simultaneous is like sequential, right? We thought we had a whole long chain arrangement here, which turns out to be not so simple, according to Abaye's new understanding. because even Rabbi Akiva doesn't seem to hold that airspace is an issue, so there goes the whole, you know, the basis of our whole logical arrangement. Okay, so Rabbi Lezer, Rabbanu Makamitzki, so back to the original question. Rabbi Lezer says, Mei Chatas that became Tomei are suitable for Hazor. What's his Raya? He proves it from the fact that you can spray an Ishanida. Okay, so what's the machalikas about? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbanu Makamil, what's the machalikas about? Rabbi Lezer says it's okay. Rabbanu says, yeah, you can spray on an Ishanida, but not water that became tummy before you sprayed it. What's the machalikas about? Amar Abaye, exactly this. The point is, do we say, so we thought it was about airspace? No. It's about whether we compare sequential to simultaneous. Omar Bayi, bedonin tuma keduma, mituma shabai sashal kemiflagi. Do we compare a prior tuma to the tuma of that moment? Kemiflagi, that's the machlokes. So Rabbi Lezer says, just as you can be maze on an ishanida, despite the water becoming tamei upon contact, you can likewise spray water that became tamei before you sprayed it. Doesn't matter. Either way, it's okay. He compares one to the other. Just like it works when it becomes tamei upon touching the isha, it can work when it becomes tamei before touching the person. Mar Savar Adonin, Rabbi Lezer says you can compare one to the other. And likewise, back to the story of the Dam Chatas that landed on a beged tummy, even though it only happened upon the moment of contact, it's treated like it was pasul beforehand, and it doesn't require kibbutz. Umar Sabar Indan, Rabbanan said you can't compare sequential to simultaneous. Just because you could be maza and isha nida, that's because the water was okay until it touched her. But certainly you cannot use water that became tummy before the act of spraying. Likewise, the Amchatas that landed on a baguette, it was kosher until it landed on the baguette. Too late, now it's Ton Kibbutz. Okay, so basically we thought initially that it was a question of how to treat airspace, but we tweaked it a little bit. It's not that. Do we compare sequential to simultaneous? Rav Amar Dekulama Ein Danan. Rav has a different take. He says, all agree you can't compare sequential to simultaneous. Two different worlds. This is happening all together as one. This is happening separately, and it's disabled by the time it, you know. V'acha b'ka miflik et machlekes. Regarding Meichatas that became Tamei, where Rav Lezer says it's okay, Rav Amar says it's not. Machlekes is as follows. Rav Lezer sova azot tzricha shir. Umitztarfen la'azois. Rav Lezer holds, there's a certain amount of water that has to hit the person. Let's call it an ounce, okay? Now, not in all situations does the hazor end up being a proper amount. You have to sometimes combine. And what's different from hazor is you can combine half ounce here and half ounce there. Right? You can total together the two amounts of both hazors to get you the required amount. Okay, let's picture this. You have an Isha Nida. And presumably you could be Maza on Isha Nida. And suppose you did it in increments. Half ounce and half ounce. Now, in this scenario, it's certainly happening. It's certainly happening sequentially. There isn't one Hazah that's going to do the trick. You need one and another one to get you that combined total, that required total. Now imagine the water that's spray the first time. Is that going to accomplish? No, it's not yet. It's pending. Pending the arrival of the second half. The second half an ounce. It's not water sitting on her now. It's just plain ineffective water, so to speak. It's hovering. It's in process. And she's tummy. So that water becomes tummy before it actually gets implemented. There you go. So you see that even Mechatas, which is tummy before the actual implementation of the Azor, can be used. So that's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Rabbanon Sabri has no shir chashir. Rabbanon disagree totally. They say that even a droplet that lands on a person does the trick. So there's no shir requirement. There's no combining requirements. And therefore, you haven't really proven anything. Yeah, you can spray on an Ishan either, because whatever lands on her becomes implemented immediately. So although she's Tame, and in effect the water became Tame, but it happens simultaneously, and therefore it's not treated like water that's Tame being used for Hazo. Because during the Hazo, it was okay. Okay, so therefore, going to Rabbanon, just because you're allowed to be maza on Isha Nida doesn't mean you can take water that's tame and use it for hazo. Okay, so in any case, let's just backtrack a second. We had a shayla, assuming damchatas, which is tame, that drips on a beged, does not require kibbutz. What if the chatas, the dam chatas was okay until it landed on the beged? The beged disabled it. The beged was tummy. It happened simultaneously as it landed on the beged. Is kibbutz required or not? So he says, look, it's really connected to a different machlek, totally different topic regarding paraduma water, which according to Abaye's explanation, involves a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar, who says that you can compare a sequential to simultaneous. According to him, you can use a paraduma water that became tame, just like you could be maza on isha nida. And according to that approach, the dam chatas, the land that on the beged tame, is treated like dam tame because we consider it like dam tame, the land on the beged, even though it happened at the very same moment, the landing and the tome, it's treated like it was tame beforehand. So we compare sequential to simultaneous, and now there's no kibbutz here because the dam is considered dam pasul, whereas the rabbanon don't compare the two. Simultaneous is one thing and sequential is something else. And therefore, by the paraduma water, they say you can be mazan ishanida despite it becoming tummy as it lands, it doesn't mean you can use tummy water beforehand. Water that became tummy beforehand for the azo. And likewise, they do not equate, when it comes to the dam chatas on the beged, not equate the dam that landed on the beged and became tummy through landing to dam chatas that became tummy beforehand. In this case, there's no kibbutz, but when it lands as kosher blood and became tummy as it lands, in that case, kibbutz is still required. Continues the Gemara, chatas psula. Okay, so again, the dam of a failed carbon will not require kibbutz. Tanur Rabban, how do we know this? Mi damo. Mi is a limiting term. Mi dam ksher, only from a kosher carbon. V'le mi dam psula. Rabbi Kiva Aymer, oh, it depends. Depends whether the dam had a sha'asa kosher. Kiva ima hoysala sha'asa kosher b'nipsala. If the carbon had a moment in time that it was potentially going to be a successful carbon, and then it became possible along the road, dama still requires kibbutz, don't kibbutz. But it was possible from, you know, right out the door. Either way, ain't domaton kibbutz, there's no kibbutz. Because it's the current status that we're concerned about. It's not suitable for akrava, there's no kibbutz. My time with Rav Shimon, where's Rav Shimon coming from? That in both situations, there's no kibbutz. Because we have two limiting terms in the Torah to exclude both. Ksiv Aysa, Ksiv Midama. Aysa is a limiting term, and Midama is another. Limitation one per category. Chad, one limitation, Leicha, to Aysa L'Shasa Kosha, when it had potential to be good. And the other one is to exclude the totally failed carbon. Nope. Rabbi Kiva, what does he do with these two limitations? Rabbi Kiva, well, he says one is for a totally different topic. Oisa prat l'truma. The word oisa is coming to tell you that kibbutz is limited to the adam chatas and not to truma material, as we're going to see later on. But Rav Shimon l'tameh, now Rav Shimon didn't need the oisa for that purpose, and therefore it was available to cut out the second category of dam pasul, because the Amar, he said, Rav Shimon l'tameh, the Amar kachim kalam ain't tun mikir shtifa, koshkin truma. Not only do kachim kal not require mikir shtifa, rinsing of the pots, certainly truma, so therefore there's no point in addressing truma in that regard. Rather, the word oisa relates to the dam chatas, dripped on a beged. We have two limitations, oisa and midama, to exclude both categories of psulim, whether or not it had potential. Continues the Mishnah. Again, the point is that only dam chatas, which had been received in a kli shoras, which is slated for the mizbeach, which is active dam material, that which lands on a beged requires kibbutz. But nitas menat savar la beged, but sprayed from the neck of the animal on the garment, ain't a ton kibbutz. Kibbutz is not required. I mean, I carry him when he's soid, ain't a ton kibbutz, likewise from the corner of the mizbeach or from the foundation. No kibbutz is required. And Rashi explains this to mean that even if it's on the way to the yisoid, meaning the applications were done and now we have only leftovers ready for the yisoid, and it lands on a beged, there's no kibbutz. Nishbach ala ritzva v'asafa intern kibbutz. Okay, so if it spills right out of the neck onto the floor, even if you collect it, there's no kibbutz. Ain'ton kibbutz, and the reason is because kibbutz is only required al adoption of skabel b'kli v'roi lazo, blood which was collected properly in a kli shoris, waiting for azo. Don't know about it. Yochol nitas ben atzavar l'begdi ain'ton kibbutz, perhaps a spray off the neck on the garment requires kibbutz, tamalei ma'ashar yizeh, which teaches us la'yamarti l'cho ela b'roi lazo, only blood which is meant for hazo had been collected in a kli shoris, labeled as hazo material. Tani yidich, we have another braisa. Yochal nitas ben akeren, I soy yitan kibbutz. What about if it's sprayed off the mizbeach? Tamulema asher yizeh, prat lezeh shukar huzeh, as opposed to dam, which had already been applied and processed. Nishbach al ritzpa, and he collected it, landed on a shirt, no kibbutz. Why does the Mishnah have to conclude further and say, well, kibbutz is only if it's in a kli? It sounds like it's a repetition of what you just said. Hasulamli, why the added conclusion, matam kamar. Oh, the Mishnah is just explaining itself. It states a fact and then explains it. It starts by telling us that if matam nishbach al ritzva v'asafa ein ton kibbutz. So why, in fact, if it spilled off the neck on the floor, there's no kibbutz? The reason is the next point. Lefi, because she'ein ton kibbutz, el adam she neskava b'kli b'ro lazo, kibbutz only applies properly collected blood, ready for azo. Roy lazo. What's the added phrase, roy lazo? If it's in the kli, it's roy lazo. Why does the Mishnah have to go and add that phrase as well? Apparently, we're referring to dam in a kli. And we have an added stipulation. But make sure it's roy lazo. Isn't that all one and the same? No, limutimai. What are we coming to exclude? What are we coming to push out here? Limute kibul paches mikdei hazo b'klize, upaches mikdei hazo b'klize. Yeah, he collected it in a kli, but it was too little at a time. There's something called kdei hazo, sufficient blood to allow him to dip his finger in, and let's call it an ounce. Okay, so let's say he's makabel, he properly collects the blood in a kli, but it's less than an ounce, less than the required amount. It does the same as another kli, and then he combines them. It doesn't work. Roy lahazo. The initial collection, the initial quantity, has to be suitable for hazo. The sign is defined in a braisa regarding paraduma water. Okay, so shift back over again, which has a similar requirement. When you are mekadish that water and you put the ashes on the water, there has to be enough there to allow a hazo, right? Whatever that is, an ounce, whatever. As opposed to be mekadosh, a half ounce, another half ounce at a time, then putting them together. It doesn't work. It has to be a complete unit, suitable for azor. The sani b'chlafta bar shol, eimer kiddish pachis. If he was mekadosh, less than the ounce at a time, pachis b'chdei azor b'kli zeh in this kli. And the same in the other kli. Uborois, Mikhleyazob, Kli Zen, the other Kli, like Kiddush. Even if you combine it, it doesn't work. Ibailu. And the question was posed, what about in terms of being Mikhalish, blood of a carbon in a Kli, which we pretty much concluded a minute ago, but then we're sort of going to process it for us step by step. By Mechatus, we know it has to be done that way. What about Dam of a carbon? Rashi explained, talking about Chatois Aplimiates, which need Hazoya. Okay, so he does a half ounce at a time and mixes them together. Does it work? No. But Dam Hilchasahi, perhaps, it's a halacha stated by the Chat Paraduma water, and you can't compare. You know, Umilchas, we never learn from Halacha Mishmar Sin, Lagam Rina. You can't compare one to the other. Oidilma, on the other hand, it's based on the understanding of the Psukim, which applies here as well. Oidilma, also my time, why do we have that stipulation by the Paraduma water? Dechsiv, Vetala Ba. It's a Pasach, Ba, the known waters. Vetala Ba Maim, you gotta dip into those waters. Indicating that this water, as we have it, was the original water. No mixing, no combining. Hachanam, here as well by the Hazo of the Dam Chatas. It also has a similar expression. Ksiv v'tavla ba dam. Perhaps that has the same requirement. Tashma, it comes in right, and Rav Zikam, Rav Lazar, yeah, ab badam lekiddush. If you should do this sort of half and half, and then combine by dam, it's in effect. Amrava, Tani nam yehoch, you find the same in a Braisa. And the Braisa will analyze the pasuk, which reads like this. V'tavla koyin says boy ba dam, v'hizam in a dam, shevapamim, etc. From the word v'tava, we learn v'leim esapa. You can't just, you know, wipe the side, the walls of the kli. You have to dip into the blood itself. Ba'dam, right? The known blood, as we explained. Ad shehi ba'dam, bedam shir tefila mi'ikari. It needed to have that full ounce initially as it was collected. And finally, the word min ha'dam tells you min ha'dam shebe'inyan. As we're going to see in a minute. Okay, the Rashi explains here. It means to say that you can't just spray and spray. You have to dip your finger in every time you want to spray. So it's one dip per spray. You got to dip it back in that dam, in a dam shebe'inyan, in that kli. Why does the pasuk have to stipulate all these things? Can't you just, you know, learn one from the v'yitzrich lemichtav? No, there's a need to have all three expressions for these halachas. V'yitzrich lemichtav badam. Why do we need badam? Because of rachman of a tavol. Had the Torah only said, dip your finger, I would say, as long as there's an ounce now, even if it wasn't there to begin with, if you mixed up, you know, mixed together two kalim, is okay. Because Rahmana comes Badam to tell you, no, this is the original ounce. Because Rahmana Badam, if only Badam, I would say, yeah, you could wipe even on the sides, off the wall. Because Rahmana, you got to dip into the blood. And finally, min adam shebe inyan tells you lemute mai. What is that coming to exclude? I'm a rav lemute shram shebe etzba. You can't use the leftovers in your finger. You dip, you spray. That leftover is not suitable. You have to dip again. Misayil Rab Lezer. This proves Rab Lezer's point. Rab Lezer shram shebe etzba psulin. You can't use the leftover, the remnants on your finger. Amalei Rabbi Rabin Barav Ado. The rav. Amri Talmidach, your Talmidim relate that Amar Rav Amram Rav Ami says, say Tanina, we have a Braisa. Which will pose a contradiction to our point that leftovers, remnants on the finger are unsuitable. Hayamaze. So he's spraying the blood of the Chatas Apnimis with his finger. Venitza Azomi Yade. Okay, and the water. The blood left his finger. Actually, if he hadn't yet done the hazor, and then the blood landed on a beged, ton kibbutz. Okay, so he's engaged in spraying, and by mistake, you know, he shoots and he misses. It lands on a beged. So that beged needs kibbutz because this blood is still active. Carbon material. Umishahiza. But after the Hazor, now the remnants in his finger drips on a beged. Ain't on kibbutz is not needed. My love, let's assume. Hachigam, the Braisa means. Actually, Gamar Mila Hazois ton kibbutz. Before he completed all seven acts of Hazor, so any blood remaining on his finger that lands on a beged ton kibbutz needs to be rinsed, needs to be laundered. Kibbutz is applicable, even though it's remnants of a Hazor. But it's still mid process. But only once he's finished all seven, now he has some leftovers in his finger, lands on a beged, it's okay. So this indicates to us that even remnants right, during the process of Azor, even remnants are considered blood that's roi for carbon, and if it lands on a beggar, kibbutz is required. Right? It goes hand in hand. Kibbutz is only applicable if it's dam roi for Azor. Apparently, even remnants, even blood residue left on his finger is okay for Azor. And you're telling me, no, you have to re-dip every time. You can't use the remnants. Loi, that's not what the Braisa meant. Hachikam, the Braisa means like this. So he dipped his finger in the blood. This blood that's right now on his finger before he sprayed it, that's active material, torn kibbutz. It drips on a beggar, kibbutz is applicable. No, but after it left his finger, the remnants left on his finger ain't torn kibbutz, doesn't need kibbutz. Exactly as we had said, because it's possible for Azor. Esvi Abaye, Abaye has another kash. You're telling me remnants on the finger are unsuitable? Gomar melahazes. Kangodl is on the Arzaisim. He's finished the Hazor of the Paraduma. He was speaking about the Akrova of the Paraduma, which requires being mazah the blood towards the Beis HaMikdash 7 times. He's done. Mechaneach yodel. Bigu v'shal para. So he goes and cleanses, he wipes his hands on the body of the Paraduma, because he meant to burn the entire everything. The parah with its blood, everything together. Gamar in. That's only because he finished all 7 hazois. Then he wipes his hand. Loi gamar le, but otherwise, if you're still in the middle of the hazois, you don't wipe your hand. You don't wipe your finger, apparently. Because anything left over on his finger is still okay. Amar le. So Rabbi said, no. Of course it's not okay. Gamar mekanech yadav gubashal parah. The Braisa means like this. When he's complete the entire process. So he takes his whole hand, wipes it properly on the gufa parah. Loi gamar. But if he's not yet done, he's still holding at 4, 5, 6. Certainly he has to wipe his finger, but not on the animal. He just wipes his finger to scrape off the remnants which are unsuitable, as we explained. So, sure, when he's completely done, he wipes his hand on the parah. Shenemar, as we explained, and you burn everything with any blood that you can find that. Ella, it's boy by mkaneach. But you're telling me that even during the process, in between sprays, you got to wipe your finger to get rid of the remnants, which are unsuitable. What is he going to use to wipe his hands on? You can't use the parah itself. Rashi says it's going to get stuck. The fibers, the thread, the hair. It's not. Amar Abaye b'stap fas mizrak. Very simple. He just wipes it. Scrapes it on the edge of the lip of the mizrak, of the container of the dam, the chsiv, and that's why it's called Kippurei Zahav, like Yom HaKippurim, cleanses, it wipes. That's why the containers are called Kippurei Zahav, because of the wiping that the Kohen Gadol would engage in between the Azois. But certainly the leftover blood on his finger is unsuitable for Azoa, as per Rabbi Lezer's halach. Okay, let's summarize. We spoke about Dam Chatas, landing on a beggar requires kibbutz, only if it's Dam Chatas, which is kosher. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's possible, in all cases it's not requiring kibbutz, according to Rukiva, only if it never had a moment in time of Shasa kosher. It's based on how you learn the Pesukim, is it one limitation or two limitations? If it lands on a beggar tame, so it became unsuitable as it came into contact, that's an interesting shaila, turns out to be Machlokes Tanoim. Again, it's only applicable to Dam Chatas, which is suitable for Akrova, collected in a Kli, properly collected. We have several stipulations on that. It needs to be the Shear, collected initially. The Kohen has to dip his finger in the blood, and remnants on his finger in between Azois must be scraped off on the edge of the Mizrak, and that's why it's called Kippurei Zahav. Okay, perhaps we'll just leave the Mishnah for like the next staff. Should take us on to new Sugya regarding status of leather. Is leather something that could be laundered, could be washed? It pertains to the halachas of kibbutz, of dam chatas, it pertains to Shabbos as well. Okay, we'll see you, Be'ez Hashem. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabbah.